In my very first semester at college, I took a class called Speech and Communication, and remarkably, I still remember a few things from that course. What I remember is that there are three types of speeches. There's an informative speech, a persuasive speech, and there are special occasion speeches. And in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles this morning, Peter is giving a speech, and it is a persuasive speech. He's trying to persuade the people to believe. And as I read it, I was wondering what it would have been like to have been there in the crowd that was listening to Peter. How would I have heard what Peter had to say? Because Peter is very persuasive, but he also pushes his audience and he asks a lot out of them. This was happening at the beautiful gate of the temple in Jerusalem. The beautiful gate is one of the entrances into the temple where Peter and John were coming into the temple on that particular day. Peter and John, after the resurrection of Jesus, had not ceased to be good Jews. They still went to the place of prayer in the temple every day at the hour of prayer, which was 3 p.m. And on this particular day, as they came through the beautiful gate, they noticed lying there by the gate a lame man. Now, this man had been lame from birth, and his friends would carry him every day to that place at the beautiful gate where he would sit and beg for alms, how he made his living. And as Peter and John came in the temple and they saw him there, they came over to him and they looked at him intently, it says. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And the lame man got up and he walked and he jumped and he leaped for joy. And people began to see it and they started to gather around, a crowd gathered. And they said, "Is this a man that we knew all these years standing crumpled up in a heap by the wall there, and now he's walking? How can this be?" So Peter could see that this was a teachable moment and that it was an occasion for him to give a speech. So he didn't waste the opportunity. He got up and he said, "Fellow Israelites, why do you wonder about this man's healing? This man has been made well in the name of Jesus of Nazareth." Now, if I were in the crowd, I wonder, how would I hear this? Well, the fact that a miracle has obviously been done would certainly get my attention, and it would pique my curiosity. I would be wondering, well, how can this possibly be? So I think I would pay attention. Here's this lame man I've seen so many times before, and now he's leaping and dancing. How can that be? So Peter goes on and he says, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has glorified his servant Jesus, and God has raised him from the dead, and it is by faith in his name that this man is healed." So as a listener, I'm intrigued. I've heard of this Jesus. I knew he was crucified. I've heard them say that he was raised from the dead, but I'm not sure. And now they're doing a miracle in his name, in the name of this risen Jesus. So he's really got my attention now. But then Peter goes on and he pushes his audience a little bit. He pushes them a lot. He says something that's not so easy to hear. He says, "This Jesus whom God glorified, you rejected him and handed him over to Pilate. Even though he was the Messiah foretold by prophets, you killed him, the author of life." That's pretty strong words. If I was in the crowd, I would be thinking, wait a minute, I didn't kill him. It was the high priests, and it was Pilate, and it was the Roman soldiers. It wasn't me. I'm not responsible for this. And then Peter goes on even further and pushes them even more. He says, "Now repent, therefore, and Return to the Lord and your sins will be forgiven. So as a listener, I'm thinking, wait a second, you just accused me of murder that I didn't do, and you blamed me for this murder, and you insulted me, and now you want me to repent and believe? It's a strange way to make a persuasive case. But Peter is trying to persuade them. Why does he do it this way? Why does he accuse them? Well, I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to convict their conscience. He's trying to bring them to awareness that God is at work in the resurrection of Jesus, and he's pushing them, he's making it personal. You rejected the Holy One of God. You killed the author of life. He's bringing it home. Of course, it's true that the listeners didn't personally kill Jesus. They didn't give the sentence. They didn't hammer the nails. But Peter means it not in the second person singular, but in the second person plural. Not you personally, but all of you together. All of you rejected him. All of you killed him. You're responsible not as an individual, but as a group. And that, I think, is a powerful argument. It cuts to the heart. I didn't do it, but it was done in my name. It's convicting. So when Peter says, repent, it's a persuasive call to see things in a new light and to have a change of heart. My wife, Katie, is an anthropologist. She teaches cultural anthropology at a community college. And every time she teaches Introduction to Cultural Anthropology, she talks about Native Americans and the atrocities that were inflicted on them and the genocide that happened as white settlers came across the country. And it makes a lot of her students uncomfortable because it's not a pleasant history to hear. And a lot of them will object and they'll say, why are you telling this? Why are you telling us this? I didn't do this. I'm not responsible for this. It wasn't me. And she says, no, you didn't do it. You're not responsible for it. But you are responsible for being aware of it. So as time goes forward. When our conscience is convicted, then we begin to see things in a new light. Last week I saw something on the news about the Equal Justice Initiative. What they've done is to make a list of all the lynchings that were done from 1880 to 1950. Lynchings of African Americans, especially in the South. And they have made an interactive map that you can go on the internet and zoom in and see lynchings in any place you want, and they'll tell you the date and the person's name and the supposed reason for it. And I looked at the list, and as I went down it, my eye was caught by one county. They had the counties in Louisiana with the most lynchings, and Tensaw Parish was the fourth in the list with 29 lynchings. And it struck me immediately, Tensaw Parish, that's where my family comes from. Our family had a plantation back there from the 1830s on to about 1920. My father was born there. Tensaw Parish is not a very big place. Could my ancestors have been present or even been responsible for any of those lynchings there? And that makes it personal. When our conscience is convicted, we see things in a new way. I think that's what Peter was trying to do in his speech about the lame man. He was trying to convict the conscience of the people who were listening and get them to understand that God is doing something new in the resurrection of Jesus. God is opening up a whole new way of life. God has changed the universe in the resurrection of Jesus. For some, I think, it worked. They were cut to the heart. They repented and they believed in Jesus. For others, I don't think it worked. They just passed it off. If I was there, I'm not sure how I would have reacted. I hope that I would not have been so hard-hearted that I would have closed myself off to the news about the resurrection. What about you? Is Peter's speech persuasive for you? Is it convicting for you? And does it help you understand the resurrection in a new way? Sometimes God needs to get our attention. When I was a little boy, my parents told us that we were going on vacation. And I was so excited that night, I couldn't sleep. So when the morning came, I was in my bed, totally knocked out, and I couldn't wake up. My mom called me, but I didn't wake up. So she came to my bed, and she sat on the bed, and she tugged at my shoulder. And she said, "Wake up. It's vacation day." And I got up. Sometimes God needs to tug on our shoulder a little bit to get our attention. Amen.